Hi.
Hi. Hey, Smiley Bean.
Oh, we're recording.
Yeah, maybe this is the intro.
For our listeners, I was addressing that baby voice to the baby and not to James. It's not indicative of the kind of relationship we have. I just want to make that abundantly clear.
Vanity Project, vis-a-vis Vanity Project, c'est la vie. Vanity Project, quiet please, it's a Vanity Project with James and Bridie.
Everybody, welcome to Vanity Project. This is a podcast, and you know what we do. Well done. Also, I did look it up this week. It's our 21st episode. A huge moment in our podcast's life. Our 21st. Get ready for some embarrassing speeches, a little photo slideshow. What a cute time. My name is Bridie. I am a writer and actor. My wonderful co-host is a brilliant comedian, writer, and is currently cuddling a very cute baby. His name is James Collie. Hello.
Are you talking to me or the baby?
Oh, such a cute baby.
This is a great episode, Bridie, and a very well-timed episode, I think, because we are covering John Wade's album, America, Why I Love Her. Mm-hmm. And we are recording this the morning after a seismic Australian election, and you might be able to tell by my voice on this recording, there were quite a few things to celebrate last night. So.
And here's me thinking you were just doing your best gravelly John Wayne voice.
Mm-hmm. Podcasting will not be easy under Albanese. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Grace, for that biting commentary, as always. The cutest co-host in all of the podcasting landscape, I would say. But yes, you're right. Today we are looking at John Wayne's 1973 album, America, Why I Love Her. Fans of the podcast will know that we have covered a surprising amount of spoken word poetry albums, and this is no exception. James chose the album this week, and I had put it on for a while and immediately was listening for a little while and then was like, James, you've done it again. You're making me listen to more poetry albums from celebrities. What's going on?
Well, I think poetry might be a stretch for this, because this is of the great American genre that existed for a while. This is like old school podcasting. It's like celebrities just used to rant on vinyl. Like, this is what Ronald Reagan built his career on. And John Wayne is about to make him look woke.
He sure is. But before we get to the album itself, let's talk about John Wayne and what we think when we think John Wayne. You probably know more about him than I do. I know of like a few key movies, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, True Grit. I know him as like that kind of idealized version of, I don't know, mid-century American masculinity. But I also know that my dad was like, we are Clint Eastwood people, not John Wayne people. But I don't know why. Like, I don't know what the thinking is.
Different kind of insane Republican.
What do you know about John Wayne?
Firstly, incredible, incredible performance as Genghis Khan.
really?
Yeah, aged wonderfully as well. You should see it. As
no.
good today as the day it was made. So politically, maybe the thing that will put everything else together for you about John Wayne is that there is a very famous moment in Oscars history where Marlon Brando has a Native American woman on stage to accept.
Oh yes, I've seen
Oscar.
That moment.
And John Wayne had to be held back from security from trying to attack that woman. That's what you need to know about the kind of person John Wayne is.
Oh no.
John Wayne's characters are like the epitome of American toughness and honorable, like the honorable American man. He was very much the poster boy for that. John Wayne as a person is American imperialism. Like, he's such a prick.
To listen to a couple of stanzas of this album for that to make total sense. But we'll get there when we get into the tracks. I actually just did like a quick little look at his filmography online, because there are like a few key classic titles that I feel like everybody kind of associates him with. He was in, I think, about 80 feature films. I didn't quite realize... I knew he was a big star at the time, but I didn't quite realize how prolific he was. And he was around for a long time. So by the time he releases this album, he's in his late 60s, I think. So, you know, he's been John Wayne, the big celebrity and icon, for better or worse, for a long time. So he's got a huge following when this album drops.
It is prescient in a way that, like, you know, who would have known back then that this would now become a regular thing, that what a celebrity will do is find a microphone and destroy their reputation. Although, like, I imagine if you are a John Wayne fan, everything in this plays very well to you, because I would put the genre of this album as fascism foreplay, if that is an accurate way to put it. We'll get into this, but oh my lord, a lot of the stuff going on in this.
Before we jump into the tracks themselves, I wanted to share a couple of tidbits about how this album came to be. So it is an album of poetry recited by John Wayne. He didn't write the poems. The poems are patriotic verses written by the actor John Mitchum. And I just love this as a little factoid, because just imagine, John Wayne heard John Mitchum, the author of these poems, reading one of his poems one day, and halfway through reading the poem, so the story goes, he had such patriotic pride well up in him that he had tears in his eyes, and he interrupted the poet and said, "I've never recorded anything in my life, but I'm going to record an album of your poetry," which I think sounds like a threat. Imagine if I told you that, James. I'll stop you there. I will be recording your work. That's wild. I love it.
And your poem has made me so horny for America. I simply must record it.
One thing that we do normally do on this podcast, James, is we look at the tracks and then we look at the critical reception. I wondered if you wouldn't mind today if I just shared two things before we start with the tracks. I want to start with some of the critical reception. That's the first thing. I just wanted to share a review from the Atlanta Constitution where music critic Terry Kay wrote that the album cover itself, which features a very stoic looking John Wayne, has the toughness of Nevada seen from the air, and that it makes one want to snap and salute. Fair enough, Terry, that's fine. But then he goes on to say in his review that people would likely snicker and giggle over this album, but they would do so in private, as doing so publicly might offend someone, and that could be dangerous indeed. And the second thing I want to share is, what a great album. Love it. I have nothing bad to say. Great time. And we can end the podcast there.
Yeah, no complaints whatsoever.
No, you've already said fascism foreplay. You're already blacklisted. I'm just protecting myself at this point.
That's fair. And you know what? It's early 70s in America. Like, what could be happening around this time? Wouldn't it be great to just push America as a faultless and perfect angel? Like, I can't see how this would backfire.
Well, should we listen to the first track, which is the title track? This is Why I Love Her.
You asked me why I love her? Well, give me time, and I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay?
That was Why I Love Her, John Wayne. Yes, this is what we are in for today. Oh. Strap in, folks. You thought Grover was a stretch. Enjoy this.
And as soon as I heard this first track, I'm like, this is not just a John Wayne vanity album. This is an America vanity album. We're like, we get it, America. You think you're great. Like, every track on this album kind of feels like a prayer. I feel like I'm in a weird church service, but the religion is America.
This is conservative West Wing. Like, everything is done with a, like, flag waving in the background and the strings lifting up. Like, the musical side of this is an interesting chat to have, because, like, it isn't just John Wayne talking to you. Like Ronald Reagan's pieces are quite conversational. It's him. Yeah. Grace.
She just loves that track so much.
Love it. It's not like a fireside Ronald Reagan chat. these are swelling. Like, every one of these he seems to be recording in one of his own films at the moment he's about to go over the hill with someone.
Yeah, but you got to get over the hill. We stay on the edge of the hill for the entire album, which is a very uncomfortable place to be. We've just heard a little snippet there, and you've just mentioned it as well, that it's not just the poetry itself. There's a lot of beautiful, I think, orchestral arrangements happening in these tracks and some choral performances as well. But as you just said, they kind of play in the same emotional realm in every track. So if you liked that, well, good, because you're going to get more of it. And if you didn't, well, strap in.
This is The Hyphen.
I thought you were going to say this is Problematic, because it sure is.
The Hyphen, Webster's Dictionary defines, is a symbol used to divide a compound word or a single word. So it seems to me that when a man calls himself an Afro-American, a Mexican-American, Italian-American, an Irish-American, Jewish-American, what he's saying is, I'm a divided American.
John Wayne sucks! John Wayne sucks! John Wayne sucks so much. John Wayne sucks so much. That is...
My whole body is tensed listening to that.
It is terrible politically. It is terrible grammatically. He is wrong in every way.
Oh, it's, You know, I don't know what you do, listeners. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I don't know if you listen to this and then you listen to the album. I hope you don't, because you will ruin your algorithm on Spotify. You've been warned many times. But I would say definitely don't listen to that song, because it will ruin your algorithm. And it is a worrying song. There's some bad lyrics. It is politically a nightmare. Oh boy, shall we move right along?
No, let's spend some time here.
Please, no, I can't. I'm so tense.
But I love that track one is such a, like it could be at the start of any, like, football match or whatever. It's, you know, I love it. It's a speech from The Simpsons when the kids do, you know, class presentations. I love America because of all the stars on the flag and blah, blah, blah. And then track two is, oh, and we're super racist too.
But also a weird victim-blamey racist. It's like, well, it's actually your problem if you call yourself whatever type of American. Like, I'm like, John, I just don't reckon that your actions are matching up with the beliefs that are supposedly underneath this song. It comes off so awfully.
Also, he doesn't get what hyphens do.
No.
To the point, like, because what he's thinking of is a slash, a division symbol. Like, and even then, doesn't really hold up. But he's got down to the basic principle of, okay, we're calling track two The Hyphen. Also, I feel I should take a special moment to also say, fuck John Mitchum as well. Let's not...
John Wayne didn't write this, as we said. Look, I think maybe we should just refer to the words of this piece itself, just to make it really crystal clear what a hyphen is. Mm-hmm. The hyphen's use is up to you. Used as a bridge, it can span all the differences of man. Being free in mind and soul should be our most important goal. But if you use the hyphen as a wall, you'll make your life mean and small. Yeah.
Can you imagine? So, like, I'm just imagining John Mitchum is performing these, right? He's in public performing these. And John Wayne is so moved, not just by a, like, racist little poem, but he's so moved by a poem that starts with Webster Dictionary defines. Like, we're in a year 8 debate. But that is such beautiful poetry to John Wayne. He's like, I have to record this.
I would prefer to listen to a spoken word album of year 8 debates. I would prefer that. Look, it's been a rough couple of tracks so far to start this album. But as we know, we've been surprised before we could be surprised again. Maybe track three will be a banger that we love and will go on the playlist. We don't know.
I asked him why he'd stayed on in a place where hope was dead. He looked up at me and his face grew soft. This is what he said. Mis raíces están aquí. My roots are buried here.
Also bad.
That was My Roots Are Buried Here, or in the Spanish, Mis Raíces Están Aquí.
I left that for Bridie just so she could flex that fluent Spanish.
Thank you so much. Or should I say, gracias. Whoa, God, she's talented. James, stop it. That's so kind. Look, I was quite excited at first with that beautiful little guitar that kicks off this track. I was like, oh, okay, we're in for something a little bit different here. Maybe a little campsite, firelight song. It's no good. That's what I'd say. It's no good. You know what I don't like about this, apart from the fact that he talks about punching cattle, which that's not ideal. I don't like that the whole story of this song is supposed to make him come off really well, right? So he's like this picture of empathy and support, where he's down at the hacienda and he sees this man. Life's not going well for him. And he goes, why have you stayed here when hope is so dead and despair is all around? And then the beautiful part of the story, the swelling chorus in the poem is, well, I have to stay because my roots are buried here. Okay, that's supposed to be beautiful, but I'm like, nah, why have you stayed here in a place that American imperialism has ruined? Like, that guy is not the issue. Oh.
That's what I love about this as well, that we are on track three. Track one is, God, America's beautiful and perfect and you have to love it. Track two is, but we're super racist. And track three is, also the agricultural industry is dying and there's wealth inequality that is absolutely tearing lives apart. But other than that...
Also, like, yeah, but why is agriculture dying? Like, why would you stay here if agriculture's dying? That's weird. Why are you doing it? It's so victim-blamey.
Yeah, ooh. Just become a famous cowboy.
Oh, I am. My whole body has remained tense for these first three tracks. We have a rule here at Vanity Project that if we both decide we're out of this album, we can stop the podcast immediately. So I'd like to push that button immediately. James, please. I know that
you're
hungry.
Do you know what?
No, yeah, are you going to?
Do you know what? Fuck it.
Yes!
Yes! I'm so done with this. Oh. Hey, Bridie. Do you want to take a pivot and we're going to do a fun single by someone else to cover off the back half of this episode? 100%,
because I didn't want to talk about the September 11 re-release of this album or the children's book it inspired or the fact that it was nominated for a Grammy, because all of that stuff is so stressful to me. I realize this album is not for us. I realize we're not American. We're not patriotic Americans. But I cannot give any more of my life to this album.
Also, and just to be very clear about this, fuck anyone this album is for.
And that message is endorsed by Vanity Project.
Okay, we are going to take a very quick pivot. I am literally scrolling down the list of like, oh, what other ones should we...
Oh, James, I'm so thrilled. We could listen to the Heidi Klum track. Oh, James, I'm so relieved. I hated this, and it's only half an hour long. It's the longest half an hour of my life.
No, so bad.
Shit. Chai Tea with Heidi. Oh my God. Released this year.
Okay.
Fantastic.
So let's bring our listeners in on this. So we have decided, fuck this. We are not listening to any more John Wayne. Now, to be clear, we both did this. We endured this, but we have no desire to make you do it. We have no desire. It's boring to
Please
talk
don't
about.
Listen to it. It's a 34-minute album, and it's the longest half an hour of your life, and you and have better things to do.
I'm sure if he's looking up at us right now from his special cabin in hell, he will be fine with us choosing not to go through this whole album.
Yeah, listeners,
instead,
we only listen to these albums because we're paid a huge amount of money to do so. And when I say a huge amount of money, I mean we volunteer our time and energy into listening to these completely warped demon albums. So enough. Today, we are hungover and we are saying no more.
This is a new regime. We have a new government in office and we no longer have to endure John Wayne's bullshit. Instead, under the Albanese Caliphate, we will be listening to Chai Tea with Heidi, a track from this year by Snoop Dogg and Heidi Klum. Bridie and I are both going to listen to this live for the first time now. And then we're going to report back afterwards with our first thoughts. And that will be the episode, because fuck John Wayne.
Can I talk to y'all for a minute?
Yes.
ready, set, stand, will the light be? You know it's lit when it's Snoop Dogg and Heidi. The warm, mean, fierce, feisty girl, you're hot and you're sweet like chai tea. You say I'm always hot, we keep that on the low. See, it's a fun day on the runway, you can let it go.
It also sucks.
This day and this episode occurs. Can I just apologize on behalf of James and I to everyone who's listened to this? It's not our best work, but to be fair, it's not John Wayne's best work either, okay?
All right. I'm only interested in talking about Snoop Dogg and Heidi now. John Wayne's old news to me. This track is so phoned in. And, like, I love Snoop. I will listen to Snoop read a cereal box. One of my favorite Snoop tracks is called Pockets Like It's Hot, which is his Drop It Like It's Hot parody he made to sell Hot Pockets, which I highly recommend you go and look up because it is unbelievable.
I do enjoy someone who parodies their own work as well.
Exactly. And this is, even for him, this is a very lazy cash-in.
This is the scene in the movie, which is set in some record studio, where the pop star comes in and puts down a hot track. This is what the track is, because it's just generic kind of pop dance release.
There are about four lines repeated. Snoop Dogg has two verses, and the second one is his first verse auto-tuned again.
I didn't mind that at all, though, James. Is it because I'm completely egocentric and replaced every mention of Heidi with Bridey? Probably why. I didn't realize so many things rhymed with my name, not least of which are Tai Chi and Chai Tea. Snoop Dogg, Chai Tea with Bridey.
I was talking to some of the younger writers on the show working on now, and I was just telling them generic advice that I always have for writing, which is by the time you load up rhymezone.com, go find a different joke. The joke is gone. And it feels like Snoop loaded up rhymezone.com and was like, okay, Heidi, look, can we work with Heidi?
He could have asked me. The best I've ever got is tidy or untidy, as the case may be, or high and mighty. I would listen to that 45 times on repeat before I ever go back to John Wayne's album.
I feel I would listen to it 45 times on repeat before I realised I had listened to it once on repeat. I'm just be like, this is a very long song. It does. Why is Heidi Klum doing this? Why is that? Like, I get the whole this is shots at Seal, and that he will obviously respond with his own diss track, which will be much better. But,
well,
why?
Actually, good question. And according to my extensive research, by which I mean the Google search I just did, as you said that, apparently Heidi Klum said she's a huge Snoop Dogg fan, and I figured I needed to go big or go home.
Go home. It's one of the options. It's fine. Your home is very big. Seems nice. Go home.
Great news is a video for this. This is a very recent track. This is the most recent track we've ever covered on this podcast. Okay, here's some more intel Klum said of the song. When we were discussing the title song for the upcoming season of Germany's Next Top Model, it was suggested perhaps I should record the song this year. I love stepping outside my comfort zone and challenging myself, so it's something I considered, but I knew there was only one person I wanted to sing with. What? I want to step outside my comfort zone, but no one's like, yeah, Snoop Dogg's up for it. Challenge yourself. Mindfulness May. Do a duet with Snoop.
How is that? Like, look, I love a PR release. How is it there was only one person I wanted to... Like, imagine you say to Heidi...
And that person was Elvis Presley, but he died so long ago.
Like, you can just say Snoop was up for doing this and he's a big neighbor. You don't have to claim, like, well, I've had this burning passion inside me, but it was strictly with Snoop. It does say to me, I think maybe John Wayne excluded, every other... There is no other celebrity that I wouldn't listen to do a track with Snoop. Such is my confidence in Snoop. Snoop will bring it to the degree that Snoop needs to bring it. Like,
absolutely.
This is a trash verse, but it's good enough.
But
it's
also,
a B minus.
Snoop has many celebrity friends. A pairing which is quite famous or infamous is that apparently he's quite good mates with Martha Stewart, and that is a collab that I would listen to, like, for sure.
Exactly. Their cookbook is actually fantastic. I've cooked a few things from
They've
it.
Got a cookbook together? They've That's got a cookbook great. Together.
So I feel like Snoop gets a certain... It makes sense that this is an American... Oh, sorry, Germany's Next Top Model theme intro, because it is a song designed to go for 20 seconds. It's like, do you know how they did the, like, Friends theme for Friends? And then Friends became a big hit, and they're like, we need to record the rest of this song and release it as a single, which is why, the opening of the Friends theme is like, so no one told you, so your mama told you there wouldn't be days
oh
like this. Bridie, what is that line?
James, don't pretend you don't know.
I actually am blanking bad on it.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. My name is James.
Okay, I get that. So that's the opening, but then they went back and they had to make the rest of the song, and then they made the start of the second verse, your mother told you there'd be days like these. You're like, no, your very first premise is that no one told you life was going to be this way. You don't say, except mum.
I really wish that everybody listening to this could have seen James's beautiful facial expressions as you went through that. Also, I love you. You know that's true. But I think your brain has done a funny thing, which it does many times. I don't think those are the lyrics of the second verse. I think you've combined the Van Morrison song, Days Like These.
Yeah.
Theme song, because those are not the lyrics we love at all, like in no universe.
Van Morrison did that song. Yeah,
you're still in bed at 10 and work began at 8. That's the start of the second verse.
Yeah.
Oh, James, we gotta end this podcast.
We do not have enough material to end this.
Yes, we do. Short and sharp, high quality, punchy episodes. That's what people are here for. Listeners, I'm so sorry that you've had to partake in this fever dream.
That Friends bit will not exist.
Oh my god, it has to. Don't you dare cut it out. It's important that people know that we, as, like, you know, are music journalists to be taken seriously. James.
To bring everyone back in, we have discovered that, firstly, that I was right about the Friends theme. No need to double check that. Secondly,
a traitor to our generation.
Heidi Klum has another track.
A couple of Christmassy singles, Wonderland and Jingle Bells. Ooh, I know that song, and it's a song I like. We could listen to one of those. Let's listen. Wonderland, Wonderland, come to Australia's Wonderland. Now an abandoned amusement park, it's probably haunted.
It's definitely haunted, Wonderland. that's a fantastic celebrity single. Just before we go into the track itself in detail. Now, Heidi Klum is famously one of the most beautiful people on earth, but I am going to show Bridie the art that comes with this track, and we're just gonna, I know you can't hear this as a listener, but I just want to hear her reaction live. Bridie, this
oh no it's like a 3D caricature.
Yeah, it looks like the guy who made a Ronaldo statue has tried to render Heidi Klum in 3D.
Mind you, if I looked like that, I would still be happy, because still supermodel weird 3D caricature, which may or may not be done in paper mache, is still more attractive than most normal humans.
Oh, she's like the hottest Nightmare Before Christmas character for sure.
I didn't mind that as a Christmas single. It was super fun, very earwormy, because we have done a Christmas album on this podcast before, which I would say was more deeply terrifying than I was expecting. I didn't find anything terrifying about that Heidi Klum song. I thought it was very cheerful.
I don't know. There's an undertone here, because, like, it's very upbeat and happy, but here's now we all know how much I love a second verse. Here's a second verse for you. Everyone who's lonely in this night, ooh yeah, step onto the street, no dark, think twice. Leave your heartache behind, light up a candle, the magic's inside of you, let the strangers around you feel it too. Okay, so
you're lonely.
It's dark, you step onto the street, don't think twice. By the way, there are strangers around you.
This is why I gotta listen to the words and not just the vibe, you know? Wow. Journey we've had today.
I think it's nice that we went from John Wayne's horribleness to Heidi Klum's Happy Christmas Song.
I cannot tell you the relief that coursed through my veins when you also were ready to pull the plug. What a time. But so, that is the risk we take on Vanity Project. We've had some beautiful surprise albums, which we find out we love, which become a part of our playlist and our hearts forever. And then we also have these albums. I would also love to not put any of these songs on the playlist.
Oh, we're not putting Hyphen on the playlist? this was one... Like, I think John Wayne is our new gutter level. Like, we... What would you say? Would you say was the second worst album now? Like, what was the worst before this? Where'd you have the hardest time with?
Oh, that's a really interesting question.
I would say with Love to Him, Christopher Lee Charlemagne was a trudge. The second Charlemagne's going to be fantastic. We'll get around to that. But the first one was a battle to get through.
Yeah.
That might be. Even that, though, wasn't... It was boring. It wasn't evil.
That's it. And some of the ones that have been objectively, like, musically not fantastic have at least been kind of hilarious or weird or lyrically surprising. I would say I probably struggled the most with the Bacon Brothers.
I love that. That was a great album. There's like 9 Bacon Brother albums for us to go through as well.
Well, I will add the Heidi Klum songs to our playlist, but John Wayne unfortunately will not be getting an ad, but that's okay. He's got 80 feature films that you can watch if you need a fix.
Watch him as Genghis Khan, and then you'll be shocked when his views on identity politics aren't quite what you would hope. I reckon we should wrap this up now, and once again... I'm so glad that we didn't listen to the rest of John Wayne, but we have done it for you, and trust us when we say, fuck John Wayne, enjoy hell, bitch.
Oh my God. And American government, if you're listening, we're just two nice little people having a great time. What a great time.
No, we don't have to worry about this anymore, Brady. We have a new regime. We are now more powerful than them.
Well, thanks if you got this far. Why? This has been trash. A real trash heap. I apologize. But also, we did the right thing for our souls and for your ears. Please follow us on all the things. James, your favorite bit?
Oh, yeah. Please rate and review. Obviously not based on this episode, but just in general. And you know what? Brides, let's give everyone a gift for getting this far. Next week, let's do Scarlett Johansson.
Yes! I have been waiting for the moment.
All right, so come back for that one, and we will go through the whole Scarlett Johansson album. We won't get 3 tracks in and be like, too racist, because we know how racist she is, so it's fine.
Please stop defaming everyone. We're a tiny podcast and we can't afford the legal fees.
It's good press.
Yeah. Head on over to our Patreon for our legal fees crowdfunding that we're currently doing.
All right. We'll catch you next week with Scarlett Johansson and not John Wayne.
Go have a Gatorade. Bye.